just a couple of moves here. We signed our two fifth round picks, Benny Sinceri and Ronald Powell. Also our sixth round pick, Tavon Brooks. We just finished our third practice, so we'll have another one this afternoon, and then one in the morning. Any questions? Just on this camp.
Sean, what do you see when you get to see players in person? The benefit of that, just the appreciation of finally getting from tape to on the field.
Well, you begin gathering the information, and you know we told them in the first meeting, the evaluation process begins. There are a handful of different groups here, and to be pretty simple, we've got our drafted players from this past draft. We've got the free agents that we signed after the draft. And then there's also a number, more than half of this camp is made up of three-day trial players. And those are some veteran players as well as first-year rookie players. You know, the good thing is you get out here, we got plenty of numbers, so you're able to run your drills. And, you know, you start becoming familiar with how they're picking it up. You know, without it being contact, you're really looking at installs and quickly getting their assignments down and seeing who's in shape, that kind of thing. But so far it's gone well. The weather's been outstanding.
So when you drafted Brandon, obviously, you envisioned him a versatile playmaker, right, that could do a lot of things, line up.
Yeah, he is versatile. He's obviously a receiver. And, you know, I think we can line him up in the slot, line him up outside. He's got, you know, a very good skill set with regards to his acceleration, his speed. He catches the ball well. You know, I like his toughness, and so he's handled these first three practices well. As far as the installations, you know, we line him up at X, we can move him around, but right now we typically try to give these guys just a position in these early camps.
Sean, you talked the other day about Ronald Powell and how a guy in his position maybe has a little more incentive. What have you seen that manifest itself?
I think so far, you know, he's handled what we're doing well. He seems to be in good shape. And, you know, there's some positions that are more difficult just because you're not in pads. You know, last year, I'll give you an example. It was hard to really get a sense of how Kyrie ran until we got into training camp. And I would have guessed maybe he was a different style runner through this springtime, and then when we were in pads, he was much different. So I think the same thing can apply for a handful of players that really the pads begin to define him a little bit. But he's doing well.
Sean, it's amazing on the recovery time on these torn ACLs that Sinceri tore in October, and he looked good in camp today there, that the recovery time is that quick on these ACLs.
You know, I read something. They all vary. And depending on the injury, depending on the patient, depending on the procedure, there's a lot of variables that go into it. Unfortunately for him, it was just specifically the ACL. He had a good procedure. He's rehabbed it well. You know, we'll be smart and be careful. But he is able to move around. We felt when we saw his second pro day, or the first time he was able to work out, you know, we thought that it looked pretty healthy. And it wasn't a complete workout, and yet it was one in which we saw enough to feel like it was progressing. So we'll be smart, though, and anytime you have a surgery like that, you know, it can take up to a year. But we feel like he'll be full by the time we start training camp, and for the most part, with what we're doing out here, he's been good.
So for a guy like Brandon Coleman, I know the injury last year. Is this an important camp for him in that you need to see the fluidity in his movements and all that? And what do you think about him as a receiver, a big guy?
Well, I think this we're always paying attention to how they're moving. He's big. He's a big target. He's been very productive. And there's just some little things that we're working on with him just with regards to his transition. But he's picked things up well. He seems to be moving around well. And the other thing is you want to begin to find out or educate yourself on what weight we think these players should be at. But so far he's done a good job. And again, with the limited snaps that all of these guys have had, he's handled it well.
Coach, what did you like out of Jordan Jefferson enough to give him a look?
Well, we're pretty familiar with the player. We saw him up at LSU. He actually threw for our local workout here that we hold every year in the indoor facility. And you know, when you have a camp like this, it's important to have enough arms. But he's athletic. He's big. He's picked, pick things up well. And, you know, just like the other two guys, he's quickly trying to get as familiar with the offense as possible. But he's handled it fairly quickly, and it's still a work in progress. There's things you work on with his foot mechanics, his drop mechanics. But we saw a couple workouts and obviously have seen him play.
Coach, you got another former Tiger out here, Jacob Hester. What do you hope to see from him during this camp?
He's one of those veteran players that's here on a three-day workout. He's smart. He's very instinctive. You can see that. He makes good decisions at the snap of the ball. You know, he rarely does the wrong thing. He's got good hands. It's my first exposure to him, really, you know, in this type of setting. And he's been with a handful of teams. I think everyone, everywhere he's been, though, there's been a niche for him. And so he's certainly a niche-type player that knows what to do.
Sean, you got players in this, and most NFL teams, I would imagine, do. Guys that have been in the league for a year and still trying to make it. Do you see a difference in their ability to adjust and pick things up if you've been in one of these before?
Yeah, it all varies. You know, there's some rookies that learn exceptionally fast, and they pick it up right away. And there's some veterans the same way. They may understand the ropes a little bit more, but in saying that, there's some veterans maybe that don't pick things up as easily. So it's a mixed bag, you know. And we try to really, once they get here, just put the name on the helmet and really go by what we see. We try to do that as best we can. The pressure always is to try to evaluate 21 or however many workout players are here and make sure that we're not missing on someone that has done enough good things to sign them to a contract. That's the key, you know, is making sure you're in a short period of time we're getting enough snaps to look at, or maybe one specific characteristic they do well that we think can carry over.
Sean, is it a coincidence that you guys get back into Grand Valley State and West Texas A&M this year, or did that open?
I think so. I think some of those younger, some of those other programs have done a really good job. Grand Valley, West Texas. I mean, each year now, there were other players aside from the ones that are here that are in other camps. So, you know, with the scholarships the way they are, you see a lot of good football, not just at the major college level, and so we try to scout it accordingly.
And with Brandon Coleman, was it injury concerns that made him an undrafted player?
I can't speak for the other teams. You know, I don't know. I know it was going to be harder for us to draft a receiver after drafting one in the first round, but I'm not sure. He's certainly a size. I think he had a little bit more productive junior season, but you know, it 7 rounds is not a lot. Right. You know, it used to be more than that. So there's always a number of guys not drafted that make rosters, and I'm sure he's looking at it that way and competing for a spot.
At any time, did you have to reiterate about the whole Kyrie Robinson story to these players out here?
Well, it's not just Kyrie. I think during the process, we're in touch with the agents, and look, the agents are smart, and they're able to look over a period of 1 year, 3 years, go back 9 years, and look at the amount of players that have made a roster as a free agent, whether they're Kyrie's a unique example in that he was here on a tryout, but Billy Miller was here as a veteran trial player at this camp and was signed to a roster spot and ended up being real productive for us for a stretch. So I think that's something that's earned by reputation or in history, and, you know, we just kind of try to educate them as quickly as we can. It's a short period of time when the draft ends and when you're signing a lot of these players.
Did you have a comment about House Bill 1069 and how it impacts the franchise?
No, I've read a little bit on it just yesterday, and honestly, I don't think I can shed any more light to it. I don't think it's as big of a deal maybe as the initial news of it hit, because it's happened 7, 8, 9 other teams. I think that'll take care of itself. My focus really is to make sure our locker room's in good shape and getting prepared and looking forward to the season. And I can just speak for the team, and I know they are, you know, so that'll take care of itself.
Sean, Stanley Jean Baptiste, a guy who comes in here and does seem a little raw, needs to develop skills, or is he
kind
of grabs that position after his
injury? I think he's doing well. I think there's certain elements to his game that he is further along at. He's certainly comfortable at the line of scrimmage and a press technique because of his size. And that being said, because of his size, when you play more off coverage, that transition becomes a little bit tougher. But so far, you know, we've really liked what we've seen from him. He's athletic. He's got good ball skills. He played receiver, and he seems to be real smart.
And is there anybody that in the first 2 days, if you looked at your roster, who is that guy? Anybody done anything out here that's passed the eyeball test for
him? Well, a lot of them have. It'd be hard to just start singling out guys after three practices, but we've got these little cards, these little laminate cards with all the numbers on them, and the problem is the font's too small. So I got to go back into my office and put the readers on to see. The overall group and the attitude has been outstanding. I would say the weather obviously helps, and one of the things we always talk about right from the get-go is just being available, and so in a short three-day period, you know, you see where players maybe have been dehydrated or maybe their shoes have caused a blister and they're not able to practice in the PM. There's a number of reasons maybe to keep a player out. But I'd say after three practices with the weather we've had, that for the most part, guys have been very attentive and the energy's been very good.
Sean, do you think Flanders' skill set will transfer well to the NFL? I know it comes from a smaller school. But
yeah, we'll see. You know, The hard thing is making an instant evaluation. We try to stay away from that. But, you know, we've got a ton of time here. Most of these young players will be able to stay with us now through the OTAs into the veteran mini camp. There's a couple, I think one specific example would be Brandon. He's on a quarter system. So that'll put him back at Oregon's campus until his graduation. Then he'll join us for the last week of our organized team activities. But these guys will slowly transition into what the veterans are doing right now.
What is it that you can see from a player, from a running back position at this point that would make you want to invite him back?
Well, the one thing you hope is that he's able to pick up the terminology. So there's a mental element to the weekend. But, you know, in Kyrie's case, it took a while. There's a lot that we're giving him. You want to see that they can run. You know, they're fluid. But there's a lot of things you can't see. And, you know, fortunately for us, we were able to get him to the 90-man roster at training camp, and then it became a little clearer. But, you know, it's assignment, it's footwork, speed and agility. Those are some of the things you can see out here without pads on.
When you're deciding who's going to be here for rookie minicamp, who are you going to infuse a roster with? How do you decide the difference between a different personality to each his own versus someone that could be labeled a distraction?
Our focus starts with the grade. You know, we've got grades on not just the players drafted, but every player in here has been graded on college tape. So when the draft's winding down and we're in the seventh round, we start stacking these magnets by grade. And if you wanted to look at the grease board, you saw all the way to the left, you have quarterbacks. It might have a little one underneath it. We're going to sign one. And then we've got three, four, five of them listed. They're magnets based on grade. And then we do that with each position all the way over to kicker. And some positions might have two or three spots available. So the challenge always is in the process of calling these players when the draft's ending, of trying to identify your top guys and offer them the opportunity before you get to the middle or the bottom of the stack. So it's really a process done by grades, their scouting grade, and then, you know, is there space? Did we draft a safety, and it's probably going to be a little harder for us to get a player we've drafted at a certain position.
I'm sorry guys, I apologize if I didn't ask the question correctly. I was asking for guys has issues that aren't criminal nature or mischief. How do you decide what is considered a distraction and what is just a different?
I understand your question. We have two colors. You know, we pay attention to the red color, which is injury history, and the blue color, which is character. So, through the draft process, we pay real close attention to their health. We meet with the doctors. We go to the rechecks in Indianapolis, and we establish if they're going to be a red or a light red grade with injury. With regards to character, you know, we look closely at school reports, our security, league security, and now if they're not red or blue, then they're like a clean magnet. So we keep it that simple.
Strozier, we saw him as a defensive secondary playmaker for Tulane last year, and it looks like Darren Sproles out there.
He worked out for us at the local workout, and he initially played running back. I wasn't as familiar with the player. Mike knew, of course, and CJ, those guys were able to reference, you know, what he did early in his career. So he worked out as a running back, and he did some really good things. He graduates this afternoon, so he'll be at that ceremony, and then he'll be back here for meetings and then be at practice tomorrow. But he's pretty smart, and he's got real good hands. He's quick. He's been impressive just in this short three-day window or three-practice window.
Is it his choice on which position he wanted to go?
Yeah, I think when he came to our local workout, he wanted to work out as a running back. And to his credit, I think he felt probably his chances were better with his size at that position than maybe playing defensive back. And I know he was their player of the year on defense and played a big role in their success. So very quickly you can see why. You know, he's smart and he understands what we're doing. And it seems to come pretty quickly to him.